Well, hello, people. And have I got a cracker for you tonight? I've only managed to get Tony Jack the Bear Mance on the show. Yeah, if you don't know him, go and check him out. He remasters music for bands. This is an explicit show, so if you don't like swearing on there, I suggest you leave the room now, but it's well worth staying with us. This is going to be an hour-long show. I literally interviewed Jack today and I've edited it ready for tonight. So as I always say, sit back, relax. As Jack will tell you, you fuckers. Yeah, that's just the way he is. That's a taste of what's to come. And just to read a little bit about it, because we don't actually talk about it at the start of the show, he's the owner and founder of Jack the Bear Deluxe Mastering. Mastering has taken up a majority of his career since starting work in the music business in 1981. He's had a stint recording and mixing and concurrent career in Radio of Toronto, CFNY, as an announcer, as well as Melbourne's Triple M. But thankfully found mastering as his calling. What a great guy. He's got a foundation, which we'll talk about. He does swear a lot, but don't let that put you off. He's being genuinely him. He's not doing for effect. And it was an absolute pleasure to have him on the show. And actually, one of my newfound friends. So go and check him out. You can find him at deluxemastering.com in Melbourne. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
Hello, 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 Mr. Kirk.
Lord Jack.
Mate, I've got you down in my diary. I put it down as podcast with Lord Kirk. So
I thought it would have said fucker, but I'm quite impressed with that one. I like that.
No, mate, no, you're a fucking lord, mate. So let's address you by your correct title, shall we?
Yeah, I love it, mate. I've been really excited, is the right word, to talk to you because, and for people that are listening and don't know, I obviously was just recently been released an interview that I did in Edinburgh, in Inspired Edinburgh, and I watched your show and I was pretty much blown away by it, to be honest with you.
Well, thanks, mate. Well, the fact that you haven't spent the time and chose to look at my podcast tells me that, my friend, you ran out of fucking options. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a low news day, I think. No, yours stood out. Yours stood out. I've watched a couple of them, but yours just... And I just thought, I've got to try and connect with this guy and see if he'll actually talk to me. And if I'm really lucky, he'll come on my show. But straight talking, which I really like. I'm not talking in straight talking that people talk about Donald Trump because it's all bullshit. But a genuine, straight up, say as it is, guy, I love it.
Well, thanks, mate. I appreciate that. And I've been a late bloomer in life, and one of the many great lessons that I picked up on, albeit late, was that I think the greatest thing you can be is authentic. And that term does get bandied about quite a lot. And I think people, authenticity, as far as I'm concerned, Kirk, is something that is, it's binary. You either are or you're not. And you can't try to be authentic because by the virtue of trying to be authentic, you're being inauthentic. And it's hard. I mean, I think a lot of people, myself included, would have wanted to have thought at one stage in life that, you know what, yeah, look, I'm an authentic person. I'm straight up, but probably not as straight up as I would have liked to admit to. And because there was always some kind of agenda going on, rather than just. And it's hard, man. It's hard just for people to be just themselves. And look, it is a process where you do become more and more authentic, but it's a matter of just letting go of all your bullshit and understanding that your bullshit is just that. And we're essentially all living fucking lies and have done for most of our lives. And maybe I still am to it to a point, but now at least I'm more at ease with being able to express my feelings and be open and do it because now I really don't give as much of a fuck as I used to about what people would think about me, and I'm not trying to put a filter on. And I know something I'll say that people may not necessarily agree with or resonate with, but that's okay. Again, it's a losing battle. You're pissing in the fucking wind when you're trying to be everyone's best mate and have everyone love you. It's mission fucking impossible, mate. So once you can let go of that and realize, listen, that's not the whole idea of the game. Just be you. As you as you can fucking be, and the more you do it, the more you become it. And so this is the process that I'm going through, mate, but I appreciate you making that observation because that's a wonderful compliment to receive. Thank you.
You're right. A lot of us live a lie, and that's what I'm trying to do with this show is to give people a bit of a wake-up call and say, why are you doing that? Because everyone's been programmed by education, the media. I know you like the media. And parents and families to do this thing and fit in and wear the same clothes as everybody else. And, oh, don't do that, and people won't like it. But you're right. I stopped giving a shit about what people thought when I got to a really low point, same as you. It's like, hang on a minute. I've tried to play your game, tried to play it the way these are the rules. And actually, the rules are a load of crap because I feel the worst I've ever felt in my life by playing with your reels. So let's get rid of that game and let's play a different one, which is mine, because it's for me and like you are, a natural person doing something, trying to do good and trying to help himself and help people around him. So that's what's important, isn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree. And you're right in that the comment you made before about the programming, you see. So many of us, mate, are walking around, we're fucking zombies and we're sleeping awake, as it were, and barely conscious, you know, what, 5, maybe 10% of the time at best, because we're creatures of habit. You know, some things we have to kind of do on autopilot. You know, there's no point trying to relearn to walk every fucking day, for example, you know. But the programming starts from when we're very young, and what I've learned is, you know, because we were unconditionally loved as infants, and when it got to the point where we were able to, or at least the perception was that our parents or guardians or whoever was taking care of us were able to communicate or under some kind of understanding about what was going on, then all of a sudden things became conditional. So, you know, if Kirk wanted some ice cream, he'd have to shut the fuck up or be quiet. Yeah, you know, for example. Whereas before, any attention you got just came to you at any time of the day or night, and it was no problem. Maybe a little inconvenient, but it wasn't a problem because, you know, you were this little bundle of joy. And so eventually this person that you your whole world is around and who you've been getting love and validation, acceptance and security from, all of a sudden goes from being a source of unconditional love to a source of conditional love. So by the time you get to a point where you go to your earliest memory, which I guess for most people, 3 or 4 years of age seems to be the age. You've had at a minimum of 18 months, minimum, of being conditioned. And the message is, if you want me to love you, you're going to have to do something a certain way or say something a certain way or acquiesce to a certain demand in order for you to get that. So we go into school, and this is where the peer group pressure comes in, and then you add marketing and advertising that are basically telling you that, you know, you're fucked if you don't have this, and you won't if you don't look like this, and you don't wear this and drive this and live in this and holiday at this destination. And so we just go through it with this sense of, like, yeah, we're not good enough. And it is, it's a program. And it takes it. You have to unlearn shit first before you can learn how to do things in a new way, and that's been my process for the last, you know, 18 or so months, and ongoing, Kirk.
Yeah, I know you are. Mine started back in 2010. It was slow when my stuff started, but the last probably couple of years, I've just completely redefined myself. I was wearing shirts and trousers and looking the corporate type thing when I was working for my own business. And about 2 years ago, I was like, well, this is nonsense. And for people that know me and have seen my profile picture, I wear daft T-shirts. I wear T-shirts to stand out because, you know, why not? You know, I'm comfortable in it. I like it. And I want people to notice me. So that's why I do it. And I'm fed up of fed up with trying to blend in and be the same as everybody else, because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm here for we're only here once, and we're here for a short time, and I want it to be the best time, the years that I've got left, to be all about me and the best time I can make of that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Kirk. Yeah, don't you find, I think, sometimes I thought to myself, fuck, you know, God, it's taken a while for the penny to drop. But in an interesting kind of way, I'm also grateful that it happened later, because for some people, they never get to that point of having that awareness or that understanding about how things operate. And they'll go to their graves ultimately, you know, being the way they always been, and being victims and being sad and blaming the world and whatnot. And I think it also, at least for me, at you know, nearly 54, it's given me this sense of gratitude and appreciation for where I'm at, and for whatever time that the universe decides on, I can hang around to make the most of it for my own personal happiness and joy, and also to be able to make a contribution, because that's the laws of nature, mate. It's all about contribution and growth. And it's like when a tree stops producing its fruit, it's going to wither and die and make place for the next tree. And I think it's the same for us. And I think so long as we are actively contributing and doing stuff for the greater good, for the collective, as it were, then there's an opportunity there to do something really great and leave a legacy. And the legacy being, you know, an example of how you lived your life, and you know, and that's something that people will be able to draw upon after you're gone. It's something that will always be there that people will remember. And I think now, especially with the internet, there's so much stuff that's on record, we can actually use this tool as a wonderful way to do really good things in the world.
You get to that point where when things become clearer, like both of us I've had that realization, that epiphany, if you want, for want of a better word. What are people going to say when they're lowering me down into that box, or they're putting me behind the curtain, depending which way they decide to get rid of me? Then what are people going to say? I want people to have known that I've lived, and I want people to have benefited from my existence. Is one of the fundamental drivers of things that I'm doing now. I'm doing things that I hope, I know I've affected people in the past, but I want to affect more people in a greater way to wake up before it's too late, to realise that actually, if you, while you're here, do the things that make you tick. Yes, everyone needs cash to survive, unfortunately, but that's the nature of the beast. But as much time as you can where you've not got to earn the cash, then enjoy what you're doing. And then also try and help the person that's sat next to you, rather than, you know, worrying about crap that's on the other side of the world that you've got no influence of at all. So if you can help that guy or girl next year, and that guy and girl next year, that ripple effect, it should be positive to a multitude of people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But I think the best way to do that, Kirk, is they say that the best way to influence is by example. And sometimes you may wish, fuck, I'd love to shake the shit out of that person and say, wake up, you know, fucking smell the roses, smell the coffee, you know, realize where you are and what's going on. But, you know, doing that, while the intention may be good and you may be quote unquote right, no one really can, again, you know, you talked about how you have to get to, you know, that critical point. You know, that lowest point of your life, and it's the same thing with me. And in my case, it was a doctor telling me at 46 or 7 years of age that my health was so bad on all levels that I literally could have just dropped dead walking out of the clinic that day. And he wasn't joking. And so that was the point where I had to hit rock bottom, or hit that tipping point, if you will. And so I had to start changing my life. And I guess through changing my life and making those steps, then, you know, other people obviously knew me, could see that. And as I progress, again, it's how congruent you are. And the congruency comes again through your authenticity, my friend. So
yep,
that's the best way to do it, in my opinion. You know, again, it's that whole don't do as I say, you know, do as I do.
Yeah, because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, is the old adage says. I've tried it with a couple of people, and you get to the point where actually this isn't working. So actually, go and do your thing, and hoping that they'll one day see it and go, yeah, I now understand what he was trying to say to me, and look what he's done. You know, I get a lot of positive feedback. I've had the odd negative feedback, but generally, I'm getting a lot of positive feedback, and people are noticing things that I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Similar to yourself, really.
That's the kind of feedback that really consolidates and tells you that you are doing the quote unquote right thing. And it's when it comes to you, and getting those people saying things to you about, and you know that they mean what they say, because I mean, why the fuck would people, you know, I guess like yourself, Kirk, I get, it's when you get those calls from those people that you've never met, you don't know, you probably never will, and they have no particular reason to pour their heart out to you in a certain way, because I don't think it's like they're looking for a new best friend or that you necessarily need one. But when that feedback comes from those sources, you know you've made some kind of impact. At the very least, you've tipped a domino that hopefully will create a chain reaction that will make a positive impact on that person. Because like you talked about the ripple effect, and I've come to a point now where I believe, and I think science is also proving this, that, you know, we are all energy, we are all part of a one living organism called humanity. And while we may have different colours and different cultures and language and traditions and whatnot, fundamentally, you know, this whole idea of separation is just, it's the greatest mind fuck that exists. It's a complete fucking illusion. It's the greatest illusion that, you know, and the greatest lie that we were ever told. And the more we can, I think, live understanding that and realizing that, you know what, every thought, every action has a consequence. So while it may be something minor and it may travel a long fucking way, there are always going to be, you know, some sort of consequence. And so the more positive channel that we can be, the better our thoughts, the better our actions, and when they can come from a place of, you know, again, just being vehicles of unconditional love, then we have a chance to be able to do better things, because there's so much negativity in the world, media, advertising, so many people in the world who are sad, who are lonely, who have low self-esteem. And having gone through that, now I see that even clearer than ever. And it's like, okay, well, I can't change it all on my own, but at least I can do my own thing in my own way to help contribute towards a more positive swell, you know. And again, with the shit you're doing, it's the same thing. And I think sometimes we can underestimate the power of what we do, because we don't necessarily see or hear from everyone that gets affected. You know, there's this thing, there's this, you know, exponential effect that happens, you know. So it's important shit that we're doing here, mate.
I had a text message from a friend that I've known for a long, long time. You know, he knew me back in the day, and he's on holiday, and he sent me a text message saying, "I've been following your radio show. I didn't even know he was listening to it, and what you're doing is absolutely inspirational. I'm so, so proud to call you my friend." I was blown away by it.
Isn't that fucking awesome?
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome, mate. Yeah.
It got me. I got quite emotional with it. I mean, just telling it. Then I was thinking, it's got to me. You know, it's like, wow, how powerful is that? He's, you know, a friend, and I've known him a long time, and to send that message. I don't know. So some people might say, oh, yeah, you, what does it matter? But I know I've seen you on a video when you did Edinburgh talking about the media. For me, the media is just... I think they're driving it. Someone's driving this nonsense and this hysteria and hatred that's going round.
Are you a believer in conspiracy theories?
Not particularly, Jack, but the more I start looking at what's going on, then I'm starting thinking, actually, is someone behind all this to keep the masses in control? You know, it's the new religion, isn't it? So at one time it was religion, you know, you've got to do this, and but now I think it's coming from a different angle. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think religion from the get-go and still to this day is a great controlling mechanism, because, again, they appeal to people's fear. And if you look at the media as well, the role of the media, my friend, is not about informing you. It is about holding your attention. And they do that, and people are more than likely to look at the bad news stories. So news, you know, I mean, not that things that don't happen in the world don't happen, but they will also manufacture things. You know, we're seeing this flurry of fake news around, and people are more likely to respond to a negative. And because people have this insatiable desire for certainty, it's like why people fucking go for reality shows and things like that, because they want to, you know, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? So they get your attention. They drip feed you this fear, which attacks you at the amygdala, which is the fear sensing part of your brain, so that you can tune back and wait for the, what's going to happen next. What's going to happen with Trump? What's Trump going to say next? You know, and so all this hysteria gets created for no other reason than they want to feel like fucking sell you shit, mate. You know, I mean, every half-hour TV show really runs for 21, 22 minutes, and the rest was just fucking advertising and promos. Again, yeah. You know, to tell you, you know, well, you know, if you don't wear a T-shirt like fucking Lord Kirk, you know, no one's going to want you. You know, you're going to be left on the shelf. You know, the ladies will fucking avoid you like, you know, like the plague. And whatnot. So, but on the conspiracy part of it, I don't know if there's one person at the apex, but there's got to be some hierarchy of sorts. They say, you know, as is the macro, so is the micro. At your local cricket club, you're going to have a president, a secretary, you know, a treasurer, a vice president, you know, what have you, you know, a committee organizer and whatnot. And on a grander scale, that sort of setup happens. But whether it all stops at one person as such, look at Bilderberg Group. I mean, that's a thing where, you know, you've got a couple hundred people, industrialists, you know, very, very powerful people with lots of money who pretty much run everything. And so I think there is conspiracies of sorts. But the flip side to that, though, Kirk, is that I also believe that no one's in fucking control, because this fucking planet is complete and utter fucking chaos as well. So it's everywhere. It's all over the show. But I don't look. There was a time when I used to think a lot about it, and I, you know, my first experience of all this stuff was through David Icke, and I had many sleepless nights thinking about reptilians and shapeshifters and all this kind of stuff. But nowadays, you know what? I tend to focus. It's an interesting point of conversation, but I don't dwell on it, and I feel that, you know, sitting there worrying about it isn't going to change anything. The only thing that can change is really, you know, the way I view the world and how I choose to live my life. And do the best I can, and that's really the best way of combating, if there is such a thing, as, you know, and the more people that do that, eventually there would be some kind of, you know, revolution. I mean, you look at history, there's always, you know, every empire has come to its end, you know, so who's to say that over time the more and more people that, using the term, you know, wake up, will start to do things differently and not acquiesce as much to, you know, what they're telling us to do, say and be. Realize that they're fucking perfect the way they are. There's nothing wrong with them, and live lives that is independent of all this stuff. You know, and that's not to say that the media can't play a good role, and you know there aren't good things that you can, you know, you can have, but not to have that reliance on it.
Very thought provoking, and I don't know the long term. The your long-term plan's going to be and what's going to happen, but I think you're right. I think that we're being fed a lot of it because. You like to say, no one likes good news. People do like the good news, but they're not interested. It needs to be more sensational and more stuff going on. So I think more people that realise that and focus on their own existence thinks a lot better than worrying about something they can't even influence. Start worrying. I think a lot of people use it as an excuse not to take action in their own life, so they can sit there and moan and whinge about, you know, the government's doing this and Trump's doing that. And I mean, people over here picketing and walking around with placards about Trump. He's not even our president. We can't even influence him being in power, yet everyone's protesting about it in the UK and London. It's like, what are you doing, people?
You know, well, I think, again, if and it's because people are paying attention to it, and that's what they want, they being the media, for example. Again, it's to get your attention. So while they've got you there in front of the screen, yelling and kicking and screaming and cursing, they got you by the balls, mate, because guess what? You're going to be hit by that fucking commercial, followed by another one, and you're going to sit through the fucking things. I mean, okay, some people have DVRs and can skip through them, but, you know, most people these days will just sort of sit through it. And whether they realize or not, they're being bombarded with all these messages. And while they're waiting for the next bad news article to come along that they can sit and have a whinge about. You know, there was a time where I always, you know, I remember in the early 90s in Melbourne, you know, Australia had this really, really bad recession. There was no work, you know, many, many shops were closed down. And I was trying to, you know, get a leg into the radio industry. It's a very tough competitive market. And I went through that whole thing of like, oh, you know, but the government are fucking everything up for me. I'll never get a job. It's never going to fucking work. And, you know, and once I, you know, realized that, hang on a minute, okay, the government may not be helping with their decisions, but ultimately they're not directly affecting me. I'm making a choice and allowing that. And like you said, it's an excuse and it creates a justification where you can tell people, well, what do you fucking know, cunt? Fucking, you know, you're not in my position. Come and be in my shoes, you know, and shirk responsibility. So, I completely agree with what you're saying, Kirk. I really do. And if, you know, again, in the ideal world, it's fine to bring attention to injustice in the world and things that aren't working really well, but sitting there and just putting all your effort and energy into pissing and moaning as opposed to, you know, let's try and do something better for the world directly. But you see, people, you tell them that, and I think most people would say, what the fuck are you talking about? There's power in numbers. We can all be together and make a big fucking voice. But it doesn't really change, like you say, mate. But if, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100,000 people all went out and fed a homeless person or did something nice for someone or even just did something nice for themselves, just simply be kind and gentle to themselves and then, again, like I said, this is the big ball of fucking energy, mate. The more people that can, you know, project positivity, love, kindness, compassion, it has to get to a tipping point because right now we're still in the fear zone, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a bit of an optimist in that respect, mate. I really, because I feel if, you know, people like you can change and I can change, then anyone can change. But it takes a willingness on your behalf to say, you know what, I'm fucking sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm done with this. And I'm making a conscious choice to do things differently because, as the saying goes, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got. You know,
yeah.
But people persist with it. You know, I really think we are addicted to it, mate. Addicted to limitation, addicted to fear, in this kind of really perverse kind of way, because it's what we know, it's what we've known, it's what we're comfortable with, even though we don't like it.
It must trigger some primal instinct in us, you know, like the fight and flight type of thing. So it sort of awakens us to go, oh, you know, that I'm watching on the screen that's happening, or that person's saying that. It must generate that some sort of euphoria, even though it's a negative one. Very rarely watch much of the news because every time I watch, I think, oh Jesus, it's just crap again. I turn it off a lot of the time. I don't even watch it.
Yeah, I don't even bother with it, mate, and I haven't done it for quite a while. And if I happen to be somewhere it's on, I just kind of just ignore it, or at least I'm conscious of what it is and realize what it is. So, you know, again, making a choice to not engage. Now, I'm going to share a concept with you that some of your listeners will probably think is completely fucking wacky and that I'm still haven't come off my acid and DMT trips. there's a thing in the world called pendulums or egregores. And what it basically is, what they are these entities, if you will, that are created. For example, if you and I and a whole bunch of people got together and created a community or a group, there's this energy that forms and it reaches this critical mass where it controls you as opposed to you controlling it. The media, for example, is an egregore. Facebook is an egregore. Manchester United is an egregore. political parties are egregores, or pendulums, and they are these things that just basically suck on your energy. So, for example, the media, these egregores of the media that put out all this stuff about Trump, for example, love the idea that you're getting pissed off about it because they're like energy vampires, mate. And the more energy they get, the bigger they become. Now, I know this sounds like a completely fucking out there and outrageous concept that people go, "You're fucked, mate. I'm gonna stop listening. Not only am I gonna stop listening to this interview, but I will refuse and boycott Kirk's fucking podcast because of this fuckwit. How dare, what the fuck is, what the fuck? Who the fuck, Kirk, what the fuck are you doing with this fella? Jesus Christ, mate." But I know it sounds completely outlandish and esoteric and out there, but if people do their homework on it and look into it, they exist. And because, again, we're 95% of the time just fucking going about, you know, being zombies, energetically, we just get sucked into this thing. So yeah. The first time that it was presented to me, I also had to stop and raise my eyebrow, go, "Huh. Okay." But the more I looked into it and researched it, the more I realized that, wow, there's something in this. And yet there's something you can do about it. You know, you can collapse an egregore. You can ignore it. You know, you don't have to fight it. You know, you don't have to resist it. You just simply have to recognize it. Okay, it is what it is. I recognize its existence to live, but I choose to not participate and be involved with this kind of thing. So for many people, switch off the media. Be mindful of when you are on Facebook. You know, I mean, how many times do you see people piss, moan, complain, tell about how shit their life is, or they present, a false image? Not to get sucked in. And this is why I don't get into debates online with people, even if they having a go at me. I could, but again, it's like, hang on a minute. I know what's going on here. This is something that's trying to suck my energy and take me away from what I'm doing.
So
Kirk can get online and say, "You're a dumb cunt," and I'll just leave you be to call me that. It's fine.
Yeah, someone did that to me on YouTube a bit back. I commented on a video on someone else's about what they'd done and what they were doing, and this guy from nowhere comes started saying, "You're there with your shit videos and your shit." I'm thinking, "Hang on, where's this come from?" And I was like, "I'm not even going to respond because all he wants to do is drag me into another place that, you know what, it's a complete waste of my time. I'm not even going to be interested. If I just ignore him, it'll take his oxygen away. Then he'll go off and bother someone else, won't he?"
Well, that's true. And there's two things that are going on. Look, there are also people online that, sadly for them, they have sad and fucked up lives. Some people just like to troll for the sake of it. I mean, for all you know, because of the internet and the anonymity that exists there with avatars and nicknames and whatnot, you're a grown-ass man with a relative level of maturity, and you're going to be engaging with some spotty-faced 14-year-old kid in the back blocks of buttfuck fucking Missouri.
I'll have a look at that. I must be on the map, but go on.
You know what I mean? And there's this kid who's got nothing better to do. He's just having a fucking good old time. We look at that and take great umbrance to it and we engage. Mm. But that's part of the pendulum that exists. So as I said, I know there are people that probably listen to this and think this is a completely fucked up concept, and it's outrageous to a point, I really need to be locked up in a fucking, in the sanitarium. But like I said, mate, the deeper you look into it, the more you research it, the more you'll find that there is some credence in this. And then after that, it becomes your choice as to how you decide you're going to engage in the world and how you're going to interact with this stuff.
Yeah, because it's the same from the perceived positive. So when people are online on Facebook, as an example, because that's the biggest media that we've currently got, and it's sucking us more and more in, more of our time. So when people are online, they're not putting crappy pictures on of how crap... Well, some people do, but the opposite of that is people that are putting all this wonderful world that they live in, how happy they are, and, you know, how successful they are, which then puts other people even further down because they look and go, why can't I be like that? And actually, that person might not even be like that in the first place. So people need to be really mindful that everything they're seeing or people are putting on, it's potentially manufactured by that individual, and everyone else is saying, well, if that person's doing that, how can I look as good as that person?
I think it's one of the biggest mistakes that we make too, Kirk, is that we're so busy comparing ourselves to other people, and we won't accept that we are perfect the way we are, and we are a unique expression of life. And of course, media knows this, and so they prey on that vulnerability. And this is why they're going to say, you know, well, if you don't look like this and wear this and eat here and travel here, and create this world where people feel, you know what, it's an Everest that they will never, ever fucking climb. Rather than just go, you know what, fuck keeping up the Joneses. Again, we don't know the story that's behind these people. Yes, they may look like they're living the life of Riley, but for all we know, they could be indebted to their fucking eyeballs and, you know, 24 hours away from being evicted from their homes. So, again, it's when you can have your self-esteem is high enough where you go, you know what, I am enough. I'm grateful for what I already have. I choose to live a life that's got more joy in it, more love in it, and I don't make it about myself, then that helps you to be able to combat all these things and preoccupy yourself with all this shit, which adds to your own story and narrative. And you know, most of our story and narrative, is bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. It's the bullshit we tell ourselves. It's the bullshit we tell others. And this is where all in... Yeah, this is where you're not being authentic because you're trying to create a facade that you think people want to see. But at the end of the day, Kirk, here's the bottom line, and here's the news for you, mate. Here's the punchline. No one gives a fuck. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
So once and that's not me being dire and pessimistic and hating on the world, but we all are focused on our own life, you know, and while we do care for others, we kind of don't, and because we're just obsessed with ourselves. So the less focus we can take off ourselves and start realizing that, you know, what makes people happy, Kirk? I'll tell you what, one thing that makes me happy, one thing that really makes me happy is doing a good turn for someone, going out and serving people, going out and doing something in my community. And it doesn't have to be anything fucking grandiose or on a global level, but, you know, just when you take... Again, when you take the attention off yourself for a while, and I'm not saying that you don't look after yourself and fill your own cup and make sure, you know, you can only give from a place when you're full. And there's a reason why they tell you in fucking aeroplanes, you know, why do they say when the pressure of the cabin goes down, take care of yourself first, mum, then take care of the fucking kid. Because, you know, if you've got the mask on the kid and then you pass out and you're fucked, you're both fucked.
You're right. The helping people and doing something for people, and not and for a genuine reason, not for any gain, and that, and obviously you're not saying that, is the probably one of the most fulfilling things you can ever do for someone, for yourself as well as someone else. The reward that comes back into you, I think, is you can't express that. If no one's ever done it and truly done it, won't understand how that comes back to you and what that feels like. Have you got a charity? Have you got a foundation? Did you set a foundation up in Melbourne?
What I had going now, it's taken on a slightly different thing, but the concept, the intention, the concept's the same. So what I do now, Kirk, in my studio business, which is my main business, is I set aside a day per month or 6 weeks. I've been trying to do it every month, but I think it probably works better every couple. Anyway, I allocate one day, for example, and I say, right, today I'm going to work a full day. And I'm going to ask people to donate a fee for the work I do. And that fee can be whatever they choose to give me. All that money goes to a charity. And I usually try to find smaller grassroots charities where I know that You know, they don't have a budget for the CEO to go out and have his foie gras and his, you know, $400,000 bottle of Pinot Noir to have with all the other fucking suits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you know that most of the money will go towards the actual cause that they're supporting. And one of the reasons, you know, the reasons I do that, and it's only been maybe the last probably four years I've been doing it, I guess, is because I got to a point in my business where I thought, you know what, this music business has been extraordinarily kind to me and has given me, you know, the dream life of, you know, doing a job I love where every day for at least, ever since I've been doing it full time and not, you know, relying on outside work, which is since 2001, enabled me to have a life where I do what I love doing, doing it when I pretty much like to do, and enable me to, you know, provide a place to employ people where, you know, they can, you know, become self-employed themselves, provide a space for them. And it's treated me very kindly. And so I thought, you know what, I'm in a position where I can afford to do this and do some good. And at the end of the day, all I'm doing is just giving a day of my life. And it's not even a day of going up and shoveling shit or, you know, going into the back blocks of fucking Africa in an Ebola infested fucking place. You know, on the front line of a battlefield. I'm in a place that I love to be, doing what I love to do every other day. We're able to help musicians and artists be able to afford to do something with me where previously they couldn't afford to do it. And they feel good as I feel good knowing that we're actually able to give people some urgently needed funds. And that's really how it was born, and that's gonna continue going on. It's just a charity mastering drive, and because again, like I said, contribution made in growth, and when we can do that from a place of abundance, again, I do this because I can afford to do it. You know.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
And I do it, and again, and that allows you to be able to do it on your terms and do it unconditionally, because again. Anything that we do from a place of now, you know, some people can have a plan to do something for some reason, but I think when it comes to charity and service of people, that's something that I feel really needs to come, and this is a non-negotiable in my world, completely, utterly, unconditionally, and there's no feeling of resentment or. You know, when there's an expectation, people go out and do things for people, and then when they don't get what they expect, they get pissed off. So what was the point of that? But I guess that was their karma anyway. So that's pretty much what that is there, mate. And you know, the new thing for me is going out and you know, my big vision, I guess if you want to call it that, is I'm about to do an event soon, which is going to be a Q&A panel style event to get. You know, kids, young aspiring engineers and producers to meet up with industry heavyweights, to speak to them directly, to have the opportunity to engage with them and learn some great lessons, because there's a lot of formal audio schools out there, which are fine, but, you know, a few of them, though, will take a fuckload of money from these kids, will not prepare them well for the real world, and then, you know, just churn and burn a whole bunch of kids who have spent, you know, 25,000 quid on, you know, to get this quote unquote diploma or degree, with then this sense of entitlement in the same way that you go to university that you can get a job with a degree, and it gives them fuck all, mate, fuck all. So not, you know, and again, I'm not bashing these institutions, they do have their place, but we need to get back to the old model of interning, you know, where, you know the older person, the master apprentice model, the master is passing down information, teaching the skills, passing on the knowledge, paying all that sort of stuff forward, because, you know, I'm not going to be around for doing what I'm doing. And I was a beneficiary of having magnificent fucking mentors, mate. And I never forgot that. And I always said to myself, as a kid of, you know, 18, 19, you know what? I said to myself, one day, if you ever get to a point where if you ever reach this goal of becoming a full-time engineer, I'd do the same thing for a kid. And again, be in the position to be able to do that, but I want to do it on a grander scale, mate. And I want to help these kids, you know, not just with that aspect, but more importantly, I want to help them with the self-esteem. I want to share my story. I want to tell them it's about self-love. And without the self-esteem, mate, without getting that, you're never going to reach your full potential, because until you have that and believe that, you know what, I'm worthy of this, mm-hmm. I deserve this, it's my fucking birthright to have this, and I'm not going to worry about what other people think or say about me, then they're more inclined to be able to go out and do things with less fear, less reservation. You with me? But
yeah.
Again, through my journey, and again, I repeat, I've been a very late bloomer in this, the self-esteem thing was so profound for me that it's inspired me to go, this, if there is such a thing as the fucking master key, this is it. This, yeah. You know, break it right down. It boils down to this. So how can I, you know, assist these kids? And there are enough of them out there, mate, that want to listen. They're prepared to listen and take it on board. Who will drink the water that you they will drink that water, you know, when you drag the, when you take them to it. Mm. So that's really what it really tickles my giggle pin now and gives me a fucking hold on. You know, of course I love my mastering and I'll keep doing it, and because I owe everything to it. But, you know, as far as I transition into later age, you know, have more of this mentor role, have more of this role of being able to share my story in a raw and authentic fashion, and let these kids know, you know what, you kids are young, learn from my mistakes. These are the fuck-ups I made. I'm being entirely honest with you about everything. And go out there and make different mistakes. Don't make the same ones I did. So that's where my real focus is right now, mate. And so I'm having this one event, and I want to do more. I want to take it around the country and take it out to regional Australia where kids got, you know, fuck all to do and you know, just feel very isolated and give them, just to give them hope, mate, to give them some fucking hope that they can actually make a life for themselves doing what they want to do and being fucking happy.
The confidence, you're right, and that's what I realised with the thing that I'm trying to do with dyslexia, and you're doing it with in the music industry, is once people have the confidence to go and do what they want to do or need to do, then they can achieve anything. That is, you're right, it's the key. It's the key to everything, confidence. Not arrogance, confidence, and what you're doing is brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, thanks, mate, as indeed you. But again, it comes down to what we said yesterday. The best way to influence, the only way to really influence, is by example. So this is where, you know, you doing what you're doing, being an example of the things that you espouse, and people see that. And this is the way we leave our legacy, mate. You know, you and I could build a fucking monument or donate a certain amount of money to build a wing in a hospital or whatever. And that's fine and that's great. But the real way to live a legacy is in how you live your life now, because that's what people remember. That's what's going to carry on. And that's true legacy in my view. And that's true inspiration in my view, because even, mate, people, you know, thousands of years later talk about the great philosophers of the world, the great teachers of the world, and none of them fucking built. And even if you did, mate, even if, you know, eventually it's going to fuck, something physical is going to crumble. You know, we have this thing of the law of impermanence in the universe. Not, that doesn't last forever, but those sort of things that we talked about in terms of being an example, that lives on and on from generation to generation, mate, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that is the best way to do it. And that's how I at least hope to, you know, to do more of that and leave a legacy that way, rather than, you know, whatever records and gold and platinum that's fucking hanging off my walls. Nice as they are, and I don't trivialize them, and I don't belittle them, and I don't discount them. But it's not my identity, and it's not necessarily how I would want to be remembered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be remembered as a guy that did good things for people. And it was at least half a decent bloke. Probably swore a bit too much, but he was still a decent bloke.
Well, yeah, well, I told my mum he was going to be. She listens to the show and I said, he swears a bit. She said, what's wrong with a bit of swearing? So she's giving you approval. You're all right. So that's not a problem. So
I appreciate that. But you know what? I had a little bit of a struggle with the whole swearing thing for a while, and I did it. And it made me stop and think. And then I realised, you know what? I don't do it for shock value. It's not a part of a persona. The one guy with the whole swearing thing that really made me feel like I'm not alone, or I feel validated, shall we say, was our friend Brad Burton.
Mm.
Brad's not adverse to the odd, you know, swearing every now and again. There's nothing wrong with him, mate. You know, and you can do a lot worse in life than fucking emulate what Brad has done. I mean, look at him. He's a fucking champion. He's one of the very first blokes that really inspired me in such a huge way. And I had the honor of being able to be, you know, mentored by him for a while in being a speaker and it got to a point where I was realizing that, you know what, there's a self-esteem thing here going on here, and he was so fucking gracious about it all. I said, mate, we need to stop doing this for a while, because you know what, while all this stuff you give me is good and amazing content and very helpful, I'm not ready for it. I know I'm not ready for it, and I need to go and work. I need to go back away and work on this other side of me before I can take this on. You know, and he was very completely understanding, and as I said, very, very gracious about it. Yeah. But the impact that he had on me was fucking huge, mate. Fucking huge, and it told me, you know what, it's okay to be you, mate. And you know, and Brad was talking about the whole be you thing. You know, it was his hashtag for a long period of time. Maybe it still is, but he's a bloke who walks his talk better than most people I fucking know on the planet, mate. And again, serves as a great, again, the example, influencing by example. You know, so I'll always be grateful to Mr. Burton for that.
I've got a similar story as well. So yeah, it was one of the turning points for me when I actually discovered Brad. So it's great. And I know you don't do the swearing for effect. It's who you are. It's how, what you come to with. And I swear a little bit from time to time. And I don't do it for effect. It's just part of language. And you can express something a lot clearer with. Billy Connolly does one, doesn't he? It's the word fuck off, I think he says. That Billy Connolly sketch. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. And
absolutely. I completely agree, you know, and again, here's the other thing, mate. If people don't like it, and you know, people did pull me up on it, you know what? I'm not going to tell them to go and fuck off or anything. But I'll say, okay, well, that's, you know, I'm me, you know. There's enough clean cut, shiny, you know, glossy, you know, extremely articulate speakers out there. They're a dime a dozen, mate. And you know what? People can get sucked into that, but ultimately, mate, people connect on a feeling level. And they know when they say you can't bullshit a bullshitter. You know, we think that we do. We think we're all very fucking clever. And we, you know, but the reality is, mate, you can't do that. And so again, we all know, mate, we connect with people. We feel the energy and we resonate with it. And that's why, you know, and with some people, they won't resonate with me. And guess what, Kirk? That's fucking fine, mate. You know, I can't and I will not take offense to that, because I'm not out there to offend or shock. You know, if someone is offended or shocked by what I have to say, then I guess ultimately, sorry, not sorry, it's their problem. The flip side to that, however, you know what? There's a time and place as well. You know, for example, if I came around to your place and met your mother for afternoon tea, I'm not going to, you know, say, fucking cunt of a day, isn't it, Mrs.
Yeah, exactly.
Not likely.
I get it.
So there is a time and a place to be appropriate and for etiquette and courtesy and whatever. But in your day-to-day rolling, though, Kirk, I think that, you know, there are some people who are, naturally are. They're just well-spoken, clean, articulate, and that's fine.
We're all different. We're all different and should be who we are, and exactly that's the case. Now, time is starting to whiz away with us, so I think it's important, because I'll put something on the start of this, for people to understand where they can get hold of you and learn a bit more about you, for those that don't know who you are, that I'm bringing you today. So where can people get hold of you?
Well, thanks, mate. Well, I my Facebook page is my fan page is fan page. Doesn't that sound fucking wacky? but it's Tony Jack the Bear, one word, Mantz, M-A-N-T-Z.
Yep.
My personal Facebook page is nearly reaching its 5,000 limit, but I'm active on there. I don't do much on Twitter. I do have a Twitter, which is Tony Jack the underscore Bear Mantz, yep. I believe. But then I don't really check it. Most of my Facebook stuff goes to Twitter straight away. But yeah, I've got an Instagram which is Jack the Bear 1063. My webpage is jackthebear.com.au, and I also have a page called Positively Speaking, which has I think for your audience that's probably the one that they would more than likely want to look into. Although that's going to go through an overhaul pretty soon, but it's still up online. I've got some blogs up there. There's some media bits. There's some podcasts that I've done, a little bit about myself, so you know people can get a greater sense of who I am. But like I said, that website is going to go through a major overhaul because I'm trying to consolidate that angle with my mastering business all into one place. Yeah. But at least that's where I can find out more about me now.
Good. And obviously, you do a lot of – that's what you do. You do mastering. So – there'll be probably bands that you're working with at the minute. Is there anyone that people should go and check out and listen to? I know you're doing some at the minute, but who would you advise people to go and listen to?
Okay, if you guys are great fans of rock music, I'd suggest two bands straight off the top of my head. One of them is called King of the North, and the other one is called El Colosso. El Colosso, E-L-C-O-L-O-S-S-O. And the other one is King of the North. Phenomenal, two phenomenal, great Australian rock bands who I think are absolutely fucking brilliant. But, you know, again, if I go to my jackthebear.com.au website, there's lots of links to bands and things that I've done which people can check out. But they're two, if you love your rock heavy and melodic, yep, and tough, then those two bands I would strongly recommend as a starting point.
Well, we'll go and check them out and try and get some of those on the radio station. And because the other thing is as well, Jack, if you come across any unsigned bands that are looking to share their music, then they can come to Radio Warwickshire and put stuff on there. That's up to you. You know, not.
Oh no, that'll be great. Oh, listen, that'll be awesome. Oh well, yeah. I'll definitely take you up on that, Kirk. You know, you and I have established a connection now, and yep, we stay in touch. So I'll be more than happy, you know, as I, you know, I can tag your name when I put a post up because I like to tag the bands I work with, or I'll, yep, you know, send you a link or whatever. And
brilliant,
then,
brilliant.
And then depending on the appropriateness of the format of the station, you guys can decide. But that's a beautiful thing to offer. Thanks, mate. We'll do
yeah,
that.
Sorry. Yeah, we're trying to encourage unsigned bands, and we've not got any restrictions. We're a social radio, so I don't play any music on my podcast because obviously for legal, you know,
copyright. Not into
that. But the radio station, it's a social radio, and what the social radio that we're trying to do, Radio Warwickshire, is actually it's a voice and to give people a platform to get out there. So if we can showcase some up-and-coming bands that are not unsigned and they might get noticed, then if we can do that, then we're over the moon and so are they. You know, we want to bring people new music to listen to, not just the same old stuff. We want to bring, you know, things that are different. So, yeah, any of that, send it our way and we'll promote it as much as we can.
Thanks, mate. Nothing like creating win-win, right?
Exactly, that's what it's all about. No one should lose. No one should go into a situation with a lose-win or a, you know, a win-lose. Everyone, there is a thing as win-win. So,
I totally agree. All right, my friend.
So thanks for being on the show.
Mate, it's been an absolute joy and a privilege. Thank you for inviting me, and love you lots, brother. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll be in touch. And thank you to your audience if they have survived this.
Yeah, and as you say, have a great day, fucker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the other thing I always say too, mate, is to remind people that you know, be nice to each other, but more importantly, be nice to yourselves.
Well, what do you think of that then? I didn't bleep anything out because otherwise there would have been no interview. Thanks, Jack. Absolutely wonderful. It was late in the evening when he was speaking to me, and he was off to his bed. So thanks for taking the time. I know you're very busy. and you've been listening to Oh, I enjoyed that. I hope you did anyway. So yeah, don't forget, if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe. Please check out Radio Warwickshire. That's the radio station I have my show on. And we're going to be bringing some new bands. And I've got a feeling we're going to be playing a bit of The King of the North and El Colosso. So thanks once again for tuning in. Next week, I've got The Dyslexic.